Happiness is a warm gun, and this is Music Weekly from Guardian.co.uk. I am Paul McInnes, and upcoming on the event horizon, we talk ice skates and pucks with hockey. No, we don't. We talk music. We review new music from No Age, Teyonbi Braxton, and the phenomenal Handclap Band in the company of Michael Han. We'll chew over the Mercury result too, but up first, we're going big on Basement Jacks. That was Where's Your Head At by our first guest this week, Basement Jacks. Now part of the popular musical establishment, Felix Buxton and Simon Radcliffe started out 15 years ago as two guys who threw wild parties in South London. Word spread, so did their ambitions, and five albums have followed, the latest of which, Scars, is set for release on XL later this month. We sent Alex Needham to meet them this week to talk about the new album and their long career. It started in Brixton. Have their feelings changed about the place after all these years?
It probably is not as exciting, the kind of danger and the kind of edge of it.
Well, most of the places that we used to do our clubs in have either closed down or been turned into flats, or there's not as many bars and things open there, so it doesn't attract as many people as it used to.
Yeah, so the kids have moved on from there. So basically, to go out, if you're going out in London, you go out in East. And a lot of people who went there have kind of now settled down. You know, they're in feeding their babies, aren't they? You know, suckling.
Yeah.
I think a lot of suckling's going on now. Yeah. But at the beginning of the album, basically, the fact that Brixton wasn't really exciting and vibing us, we thought, well, we should do some recording in other places, which was why we went to New York and to Berlin and to Bath.
Why Bath?
Well, Bath, well, the idea was that we'd go there for a fortnight and we'd finish off our soundscape stuff.
You've been quoted as saying that you were galvanised by hearing Bonkers by Dizzy Rascal and Armin van Helden.
Yeah.
Did that make you redo some of the album? Because that's very recent.
Bonkers.
I mean, that was just a relief that it was a club record that actually sounded good and had energy and enthusiasm. And probably last year, I didn't hear that from any club music.
Well, for a while, it's been hard to kind of work out where we would fit into the club thing. Whereas recently, it seems that things are kind of... We're definitely Dizzy, and just in general, there seems to be a bit more kind of life coming into, and vocals, you know, for a start, because vocals haven't been very popular in club music for a while.
Mm. So when we started the album, it was very about minimalism and kind of a kind of Berlin, very cold, clinical aesthetic with club music, and just blips and kick drums, and that's about it. So it's like creatively, you can't really do much with that at all. So. We kind of forgot about the clubs at the beginning anyway, because it just seemed like irrelevant to try and do something different and interesting. So we started off very slow, and then we kind of wound up and reviewed it and became less miserable as the album went on, I think. we got to a stage where actually our misery from before was a bit boring. And I think that can sometimes happen when you create stuff. I mean, I've definitely tried things before, writing songs, you know, about being very low and falling to pieces and anguished. And it can just be really dull for other people, because unless you're saying anything, you're shedding a new light on that situation, then you're not really saying much about life. So
I mean, the music has to be, it just grab you.
Yeah,
and then,
yeah.
And then you'll listen to the words. Mm. So, well, Raindrops was also, the record company, I think, were having a hard time working out where we were going. And Raindrops was probably one of the first things where they actually called us up and said, oh, that's good.
Yeah, and they said it's actually a 4-4 kind of dance thing. But we tried to do something simple and for a dance floor in the kind of Basement Jacks traditional style.
Collaborated with a lot of artists on this record and in the past. Yoko Ono is probably the name that jumps out. What was she like?
She was great. I mean, that was at the beginning of the album, we didn't know kind of what kind of album we were going to make or what we were going to do. And I said to Simon, one thing I wanted to do was go and interview Yoko Ono, kind of just as a little kind of creative holiday. That was the initial thinking, because I think more than anything, I'd seen some of her artwork. There was I'd seen this thing on TV about a sculpture she'd done in Iceland. It was about the Holocaust, and it was really beautiful and really kind of painful and intense. And she was miles ahead of her time, I think. And we'd heard that she was into our music. Her manager had played like music since 1965. She hadn't known any music since then. So basically he'd gone through and played the Oasis and the main kind of bands or whatever. And the first thing that caught her attention was our stuff and Romeo, and she said it reminded her of being a child in Japan. And I was just interested because she came out of the whole peace and love thing, kind of icon, I suppose, of the peace and love anti-war movement. And I'm just kind of interested to see where she's at now because of that. Because it was a very idealistic time, which maybe us, like Acid House generation, I definitely believed it was kind of a new generation, a new kind of hippie age. People are kind of sitting back, opening their minds, and I really thought it might be a whole real new generation of kind of creativity and kind of love and all that. Which it wasn't really, anyway. And so Yoko Ono, obviously she was doing that the first time round, and she's had such a intense life, and she seems to be doing some amazing artwork now and seems to be very kind of alive.
How has your relationship changed over the years? Are you as close as you were in 1994?
Well, we didn't know each other when we started making music at all.
We've never been particularly close in a way.
Really?
Well, no, because...
You hang out together? No.
Well, we were
all
each other,
the time.
Like Monday to Friday in the studio, and then weekends we're touring, so we're constantly with each other.
But you don't spend your leisure time together?
I mean, I think it's about realising having space. I mean, I've definitely always been conscious of that. And, well, also, if you spend too long doing anything, you get tired of it. So it's kind of to keep things fresh. And I suppose we haven't fallen out up to this stage, you know. And it's kind of we're probably both quite easygoing and, like, open as people. You know, it's like any relationship. But I suppose for us, the main thing is the focus is the music. So, and what surrounds it, the kind of Basement Jack's world.
That was Art Alex with Felix and Simon from Basement Jacks, and Scars is out on September the 21st. Hang on. Has anybody seen Rosie Swash?
I genuinely thought that you'd lost something.
Hi, Rosie, how are you?
I'm very good, how are you?
I'm all right, still recovering from the Mercury's a little bit.
Yeah, sore heads all around, but it was a very enjoyable night.
Indeed, indeed it was, and we'll come back to the prize later on. But now let us pass through the French Doors of Singles Club. It's a classy club with classy doors, and it is so because we have a special guest reviewer this week, Mr. Michael Han.
Fresh from a month in France.
Fresh from a month in France.
Listening to French heavy metal, I'm telling you, that's where it's at this year.
That's where it's at for this year. I mean, is this like new French heavy metal?
Oh no, French heavy metal from when I was a kid. All I wanted was to get a best of by this group Trust, who I'd had a couple of songs going around in my head after looking them up on YouTube before I went away. Went into the supermarket, all I could find was an 11 CD box set of their complete CBS recordings. You can imagine how pleased my wife and kids were.
What, you actually bought them?
I actually bought 55 euros for 11 CDs of it.
Bloody hell. I was going to tip you off at Les Meilleurs Chansons would be the place to start looking, but never mind. And we'll start with the record you've brought with you this week. I say record, I mean link to file in this digital age. And that track is the phenomenal Hand Clap Band with 15 to 20. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35.
All that time and nothing to show for it.
through to you. So what's it gonna take to get through to you?
That was 15 to 20 by the phenomenal Handclap Band. This band, not only the most phenomenal, but the only handclap band in existence, was formed by New York DJs Daniel Collas and Sean Macon. For their eponymous album, out on Tommy Touch Records now, they roped in other people, like Jaleel Bunton from TV on the Radio, to form something akin to a collective. They may even have their own allotment. Michael, tell us about this song.
Well, our colleague Dorian Linsky, on his Twitter feed earlier this year, rather unkindly, I thought, said that Phenomenal Handclap Band are this year's Freak Power, in that they got one really good song that everyone loves, but frankly, there's nothing else going on the rest of the album. I think he was unfair, because I can't work out which song he's referring to. It might have been this, or it might have been You'll Disappear, which are both absolutely fantastic. This one's slightly unusual, and it sounds like it was made in 1982 rather than 1972, which the rest of the album does. But what really blew me away was seeing them live early this summer, where they were the most fun I've seen in ages and ages. They were bottom of the bill at the Borderline, and they got a sparse crowd all dancing, apart from me, but I was tapping my left foot vigorously. I think there's something really joyous about this record. I mean, it stays just the right side of novelty. It's irresistible, and it's the kind of arrant nonsense that pop music needs to be. It just shouts about the joyousness of existence, as far as I can tell. You know, at times you're thinking, is this the funk polyphonic spree? But actually, the funk polyphonic spree is that much of a bad idea.
We'll pose that question directly to you, Rosie.
Oh, see, you know, sonically, I wouldn't say they sound anything like polyphonic spree. No, so that's good. In my book, that's good. The funk poly, very interesting. They're definitely, this record's definitely a lot of fun. It reminded me of Tom Tom Club. Probably not much of a stretch there, really. But I think, apart from, I have to say that the overwhelming feeling I got when I listened to this and You'll Disappear, which is the other sort of standout track, is that something quite huge is missing. And I don't think it's been arranged particularly well. And I don't think the production, I mean, obviously listening to it on MySpace through headphones is not brilliant. And I'm sure it's different live. But I felt like there was, that they could have had a lot more punch. I thought the beat could have been, you know, everything could have been expanded out a bit more. And it felt a little bit like it. Like the thing I noticed the most was that something was lacking, which is a shame because I think it's got the bones of a brilliant track.
Yeah, I think it kind of, for me, I can't quite decide where I fall on this because it is the sort of music that I would naturally really enjoy. It reminds me of ESG in that early 80s sort of way. But then it also reminds me of Mark Ronson and his Pretty Green track with Santa Gold. And you know, I always fall on the line. I'm the only person ever on this pod who has a nice word to say about Mark Ronson. But it does. I'm not quite sure whether it's good pastiche or it's naff pastiche.
Well, the thing this reminded me of when I first heard it was neither. It was Malcolm McLaren, those early 80s things he did, Buffalo Gals.
Yeah.
And definitely, yeah, Double Dutch. And which is, I think, the height of naffness in pop music. But it's one of those things where I think you have to embrace the lameness. You have to say, I know that there's a load of rubbish here, but for some reason it comes together in a pleasing way. Like with Bruce Springsteen, I think truly you have to embrace the fact that a lot of what he does is absolutely stupid to get the bigger picture.
I think it falls on the right line.
Interesting. I think it falls on the wrong side of naff, but I like it.
Oh, there you go.
Well, there we go.
Right side of naff, but I don't.
That's disagreeing to agree, I think.
Yeah.
That's the last word on 15 to 20 by the phenomenal Handclap Band, and it's available to buy now. Next up is No Age with Losing Feeling. That was Losing Feeling by No Age. No Age are Randy Randall and Dean Allen Spunt. Surely two of the best names in rock. They're back with new stuff already, despite their second album, Nouns, being nominated for a Grammy this year. That nomination, by the way, was for Best Recording Package Grammy. You know, you do think there is a limit to these Grammys. And there never are. There's always another one.
Best polka recording. That's always my favourite. Best polka.
Rosie Swatch, this is yours.
Yes, probably not very surprising. I know that I go on about noise pop, and I know I go on about No Age. But I love this EP and I love this song. Aside from the music for a second, I love No Age because they're kind of like the daddies of that LA noise pop scene. Dean Spunts runs a label PPM with Abby Vigoda and Mika Miko on it. I like that there's something about them that reminds me of the DC hardcore scenes of all those years ago. In that there, I mean, I think it was Randy Randall, I'm not sure which one, had this huge spat about going on The Late Show because he wanted to wear an Obama t-shirt and they wouldn't let him. And it's obviously quite a huge thing for a band like that to go on a show like that. They've got, you know, they have all-age gigs, they play free gigs. So it reminds me in a really warm way of the kind of sensitivity and democracy and community feel that you had around that bands like Fugazi. However, back to the song. Back to the song. What I also love about them is one of the things I love about bands like Black Lips is they just refuse to evolve. This is, you know, this is not different. And that's fine by me because the sound that they create in the noise pop sound always to me feels like a big, lovely, warm, soft, fuzzy blanket. And I love the music they make. However, it did remind me a little bit of something that Animal Collective would do.
Right. Yeah, for me too. And my boys Crystal Stilts, I remember we had a row about 6 months ago. But that kind of anesthetized feeling I felt on this one. Michael, what do you think?
I liked it. There's a lot of this around at the moment, isn't there? An awful lot. I went to see The Antlers last week, who do this but with someone like Jeff Buckley singing.
Not the Crystal Antlers.
Crystal Antlers, but The Antlers, who I think I can't remember what label their album's coming out, and I better not say the wrong one or I'll get in terrible trouble with everyone. I like it. It started and I expected to hate it because those kind of dazed, drowsy vocals that so many of these bands do, the ones that sound like they're actually on drugs while recording rather than trying to recreate the experience of drugs through the song. But then it kicks in halfway through and suddenly this huge rush of energy that almost physically lifts you. And it from a slightly, I felt, insipid opening, it becomes wildly exciting. But I think that change of gear is all to the good. I think that it wouldn't seem so wildly exciting if you hadn't had the dawdling first.
Rosie, what you're saying about this song not being much different from stuff, I mean, I'm not as familiar with No Age's early work as you are, but I've listened to some of it, and it seems, I've always thought it was always set off at a particular tempo and stuck with it all the way. Whereas what Michael says is right about this track, it really does roar interaction at the end, but it's also got this... but it kind of weaves in and out of particular movements and stuff on the build up. So I'm not sure if that's a progression in itself.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's definitely more of a song in that regard than a lot of stuff that they've done in the past. It's still by no means an attempt to, you know, get away from the Best Recording Package Grammy into maybe Best Pop Song, but by any stretch of the imagination. But you know, they're just going along releasing these songs as they choose to, and they're not really trying to do anything more than that, as far as I'm aware. I really don't. But yes, what I'm saying is that sometimes you don't need a band to be innovative or different or progress to keep appreciating what they do.
Losing Feeling by No Age is released in October, but you can listen to it now on subpop.com. Final track this week is Platinum Rose by Tyondai Braxton. That was Tyondai Braxton's Platinum Rose. Okay, forget what I said. Tyondai Braxton has the best name in rock. He's part of the band Battles and does the vocals, if you can call squeaky noises which only barely resemble human speech vocals, that is. This track is a part of a composition by Braxton called Central Market, and yes, it's classical music, recorded by a bloomin' orchestra. And this is my choice because I love classical music so much, and I've been waiting for a moment to slip some in. That's not true, and I don't have the foggiest clue about this type of music. So I'm allowed to say that I don't know about it, but I know what I like, and I enjoy listening to this. I'm a big fan of Battles. I really like Mirrored, and I can see the connection between that album and this. I mean, not just in the fact that there's these, as you just heard at the end of the clip, there these yelping vocals, which kind of emote but don't really express anything. It's got the same variations in rhythm and pace, which are typical of Battles. And because there's no lyrics, I find I can free associate with it. I can listen to it and it conjures up pictures. And that's not something that I'm used to experiencing when I'm listening to pop music, dance music, etc. It's also a very vibrant track. And I think a lot of the EP, Central Market, which is coming out, is like this. And it reminds me a lot of musical theatre too, sort of Leonard Bernstein, George Gershwin sort of stuff. And it has a real pep and energy to it. So it caught my ear. And while I might be at a loss to say particularly why, that it has stuck with me. Michael?
Yeah, I I think we need a classical music person here. This is what, when I was listening to this, I was thinking, I wonder what Tom Service thinks of this. I would genuinely like to know, does this work as classical music? Because I feel, like you, that I lack the musical vocabulary to explain why I feel about it. Well, to be honest, I feel that it slightly should be the soundtrack to an irritating stop motion film, probably about a decomposing badger being eaten by beetles and worms.
Yeah, but it'd have to be tens of thousands of beetles.
But that said, I have particular associations with this music because I got sent this EP earlier in the summer, and I saw someone on a blog saying that Jonde Braxton's album is amazing. And so I listened to it every day on the walk to and from Lourdes, where I went to the first 4 days of the Ashes test. So I associate this with England's victory in the Ashes this summer. And for that reason alone, Jonde Braxton is a hero to mankind. That said, I find Battles the single most annoying group in the world.
Right. But and just a point of interest, I thought you said Lourdes, L-O-U-R-D-E-S.
I thought you'd been going to the south of France for miracles.
Rosie.
It's interesting that you should both pick up on the classical element, which I do hear. But I thought the first thing that struck me was that I think in this track, he's indebted quite hugely to his father, Anthony Braxton, whose music I wasn't that familiar with until I discovered he was a famous jazz musician when Battles came around and looked into a bit more. And he was kind of like part of this jazz fusion movement in New York that were involved with like Stockhausen and all that stuff. So really, really weird music. Being made in that way for the first time, and it's those elements are here. There's no real discernible melody, so to speak. It is like a lot of different sounds clumped together and stitched together and hacked together. But at the same time, I can see those repetitious phrases that are there in Battles. So it still feels like it's only a hair's breadth away from being a Battles track. It's, what can you say? I mean, it's audacious and bizarre and it's non-melodic and it's staggering and it's not really a song. It's a concept and it's a composition in that regard. And it's amazing. I think it's amazing.
It's a collection of great sounds, isn't it? I mean, I appreciate that. And when you talked about Gershwin, you can hear that in the huge brass stabs, which do sound like something off, or something from, kind of mid-century American popular composition. But the problem was, for all those thrilling sounds, the 10.5 minutes of this thing, let's say you only heard about 15 seconds of the 10.5 minutes, the minute it ended, I couldn't remember a single thing.
Oh, no, that's not. It definitely stuck with me. And I think composition is the key thing for me. It is structured. And while there isn't a melody that links it all together, it does come back and it does feel a complete unit to me. We better wrap that one on because we could babble forever. But that is Platinum Rose by Jonde Braxton, which is released on Warp Records as part of their 20th anniversary on September the 14th. For your listening pleasure, here are some other tracks that are out this coming week. Bananarama, Love Comes. Bat for Lashes, Sleep Alone.
You can't turn back and you just can't stop all the boys and Pretty lot, boys and girls.
Mika, we are golden. That was your montage, and that too was Singles Club. Thank you to Michael Han.
It's always a pleasure, Paul. It's always a delight, Rosie.
Oh, yes. See what he did there. As ever, we want your reviews of this week's tracks too. You've heard Michael's views, you've heard ours, now share yours. We want stuff on No AIDS, Tyrone Dye Braxton and the phenomenal Hand Clap Band on our blog at guardian.co.uk/musicweekly. You can register your excitement there or indeed on our Facebook page, search Music Weekly to find that. Next up on this week's show, it's time to play some hockey. So Rosie, hockey.
Yes.
You consider them amongst your closest friends.
Yes, it's true. I didn't grow up in North London. I grew up in Portland, which is not actually where they're all from, but they were there, something like that. Hockey, Too Fake, brilliant song of the summer. They're about to release their debut album, and they're quite weird and sound, I think, quite unlike other bands around at the moment. A little bit like they should have been out a few years ago, but a little bit like they should have been out in a few years' time, if that makes any sense whatsoever. They came in to talk to us, and I thought I'd be really innovative and ask them how they all met.
Jeremy and I met in L.A., and we met Anthony and Brian in Spokane, Washington, which is six hours east of Portland.
Oh, you old Spokane, you old Spokane.
It's actually the biggest city between Seattle and Minneapolis, right? But yeah, just no one hears it. I hadn't heard about it until we moved there one night.
We moved there one night in January.
Yeah.
Cold, windy.
Why? Why did you?
And I was
why
there? With a bottle of rum.
Yeah, Tony was there waiting with a big hug. We never met.
We wanted to get out of LA. We were tired of LA. We wanted to live somewhere cheap. And we kind of just wanted to get away from any sort of music industry or any sort of pretense to like trying to make it or anything like that. We just wanted to like absolutely disappear and go into a snowy hill, and that's like,
oh, you're talking.
did it work for you? Did it work out?
Yeah, it did. That's like what we had to do to go and kind of get do what we wanted to do, because we were just kind of under this in LA. We're just, you know, there's all this music business around. I don't know. You're under this kind of eye, and it's annoying. We just wanted to do exactly what we wanted to do, you know, and so that's why we moved away. And that's basically what my guess is us. The album is just us in hiding doing what we want to do.
Your biography, I notice there's a lot of mention of dance music or different kinds of dance music. Yeah. Is it a big influence?
Yeah, it's a big influence in terms of kind of the sounds and just the atmosphere of the shows. Not so much like the songs. Like the songs could have been recorded kind of any way, most of them. But we like to do it with sort of those sounds because it like signals a certain atmosphere and kind of, we wanted people to dance and have fun originally because we were at school, and at school there's just this like total untapped, it's just so easy to have people to freak out, and you can just sense that at a party. So we just wanted to like push that button, and then the trick is figuring out how to do that in the world where that the energy is much more spread out. So you have to be much better to bring it together.
We played a suspension party, which
what's a suspension
people
party?
hang themselves from their skin. Suspend.
Yeah, we didn't know we were gonna.
We didn't know. We thought it was just a vegan cannibalism.
When you say it,
yeah, that's what I thought. It was gonna be people like bound like on a some sort of jungle gyms or something. But it was like we showed up and it was. Oh my god!
What is that, like an S&M thing?
Yeah,
what
did they do?
It was like a gothic sort of theme. The people were
some
nice.
Sort of like yeah. They were just, it was really weird because yeah, everyone was really having the time of their lives, kind of like really like euphoric and nice.
There was like boyfriend and girlfriends like hooked together, like by like connected huge, yeah. by a rope, like walking like around.
Meat hooks.
It was like giant in a circle. It was
going mad. Through the back and stuff. I mean, that's a very old kind of primitive tradition of ceremony, yeah. and it might tap into something. Very primal. Make me a deal and make it good for me. I won't get full of myself, I can't afford to be. This is small town music, this is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away. A song away. A song away.
The album's not actually out for a couple of weeks, so even though people have heard bits and pieces of it on MySpace, they wouldn't have heard the whole thing. So, no. Bearing in mind the things you just said, what can they expect from the album?
It's just like a few extra kind of sounds on the album that they probably haven't heard before, like a few kind of more acoustic songs, two of them, and then just a bit more fleshed out of what we've already done because it's the same album after all, I guess.
Are you looking forward to it coming out? Do you feel nervous?
Yeah.
Yes.
We're looking forward to it at this point.
I mean, it's really been, it's obviously been quite a long time in the pipeline for considering it's been.
Yeah, it's kind of insane. I mean, it's kind of a little weird to just continue to be, it feels a little artificial.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But there's just a way that, I mean, the world works a certain way that we don't have anything to do with. So we're just kind of, whatever we want, we're just, you know, involved in the whole music scene, industry, or whatever that is, you know, whether we like it or not. So that's just how it goes.
I will miss not being able to blame stuff on not being out. It's like that show sucked. Well, yeah, the album's not out.
Everyone loved that band. Put their albums out. Yeah.
That was Benjamin Grubin, Jeremy Reynolds and Brian White of Hockey, and the album Mind Chaos is out at the end of this month.
Fantastic, and we have a special live track recorded by Hockey at the very end of this show. Okay, it's a feature. It has a name. Oh no, it doesn't, because it's the feature with no name. And this week's feature is authored by Paul Lester, Mr. New Band of the Day, who has the following to say about the radio department.
The radio department have been going for 14 years and recording for 7, but in that time they've produced some of the most beautiful music of the last 2 decades. Whether you call it dream pop or shoegaze, what the group from Lund in Sweden have done over 3 albums and numerous EPs is taken the experiments in White Noise and Avant Fuzz of My Bloody Valentine and allied them to some achingly lovely chord sequences that are called Peak Prefab Sprout or Pet Shop Boys. They probably represent the third generation of shoegazers, and are a full 20 years too late to join in the notorious scene that celebrates itself, when they could have parted in hoop t-shirts and Chelsea boots with the likes of Slow Dive, Chapter House and Ride, but for sheer consistency and for the way they distill the history of noise pop down to the barest essentials, melody and distortion, they are arguably the greatest shoegazing band of them all, and certainly the most underrated. The band have only achieved a modicum of commercial success since releasing their Against the Tide debut 7-inch single in 2002, and critical acclaim has been slight. The high point came when their debut album, Lesser Matters, was ranked at number 9 in the NME's Best Albums of 2003. The 2006 follow-up, Pet Grief, was praised in some quarters as a rich and evocative mood piece, while others slated the band for being insufferably fey and effete and too in love with their own sorrow. Diehards, meanwhile, considered it the holy bible of delicious despair, drenched in the most luscious fuzz this side of Fenez. There has been talk of late about a shoegazing revival, with labels such as Sonic Cathedral and groups such as Maps, Deer Hunter, and even Sigur Rós touting their own brand of ambient haze pop. But real aficionados of the genre acknowledge the Radio Department as the latter-day masters of the form, and their third LP, Clinging to a Scheme, due out in September, is being anticipated with almost religious excitement. And if the recent David EP is any measure, it will be worth the wait in gold.
That was Paul Lester on the Radio Department, and the feature with no name will return next week. Now, as mentioned at the top of the show, it has been an important week for handing out of musical prizes. Speech de Belle won the 2009 Barclaycard Mercury Prize. And that was something of a surprise, not least to Rosie and I, who, as part of our panel on last week's podcast, I think generally dismissed the album as being all right, but in fact I can recall Emma Warren, esteemed former judge at the Mercury's, describing it as lacking the X factor. So if it lacked the X factor, and I'm sure we still insist it does, what qualities did it have, Rosie, in order to win?
It has an authenticity to it. I find it hard to believe that her story, which we talked about last week, the homelessness, the 4 years in a hostel, you know, how the album came about through that, hasn't had an effect on people's opinion of the actual material. But what she does have, which I don't think you could say about any of the other nominees, is it's all her own voice, which obviously is very distinctive to rap music, which you can't really say about the Horrors or Florence and the Machine. What do we know about what they really think or feel? And these are much more heartfelt, you know, typically real songs. So I suppose it does have that. Does it reflect the year in music in Britain? I'm not sure. I don't know if I agree.
But it doesn't, I suppose, in reference to another thing we were talking about last week, it doesn't reflect another year in British music, if you see what I mean. All that debate exactly. We were having about nostalgia and the derivative music. This is something new, however uninspiring, I suppose, we might have found it when we heard it. But congratulations to Speech and to Big Dada, the label. Bass Monkey, who'd been chatting about the awards on the blog before the result, came back afterwards to say, so they did give it to a girl. I wonder whether the pressure will be on after choosing Indie Boys for the past few years, and maybe that was what did it in the end, because I don't think she's that great, really, and I love Ninja Tune. I know it's my grumpy old man chauvinism talking, oh yes it is, Bass Monkey, but listening to it, I feel a bit like I'm being nagged or stuck on the top of a bus when school's out.
Was it Paul McGee wrote that was one of its qualities, is that it's like listening to a conversation.
Yeah, I don't know. It's quite interesting how strong people's opinions are about this album after the event, because before the event, I didn't really think that was the case. Anyway, that is the 2009 Mercury Prize. It's been awarded, and we can all save up our thoughts now until next year, when I think you're already back in Wild Beast, aren't you?
Yeah, they're eschewing.
We'll see about that. Okay, well, thanks very much for your thoughts on the blog. Don't forget you can post anything you like on this week's show on guardian.co.uk/musicweekly. You can find us on Facebook searching Music Weekly and do the same. But that is it for this week's podcast. Thank you very much to Rosie Swash.
Thank you very much, Paul McKinney.
We're going to play you out now with a special track from Hockey. This is Song Away. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Make me a deal and make it good for me. I won't get further myself. I can't afford to be. It's a small town music. It's
suspect our music is ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it, nah, nah. Oh, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away. Oh, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away. It's just a song away. Hey, see what your man has done to the world. See what the world has done to your man. No, I'm leaving you, you don't need me. Loving you was not always so easy. This is believe me music, this is forget me music. This is who could love me, you know, this ain't no Roxy music. This is new form music, this is old form music. And I paid attention now, so this is prediction music. Oh no, don't confuse it. Oh, tomorrow's just a song away. A song away, a song away. Oh, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away. It's just a song away. A truthful song over an 80s groove. Like to let you know I'll always be straight with you. Stole my personality from an anonymous source. I'm getting paid for it too. I don't feel bad about that. Give me my chance back. Yeah. This is on the rise music. This is novelty music. Well, who can play music? Don't get fooled by it. This is where you go music. Just come home. Down to the wild, such a perfect angel music. Who really tries? Oh, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away. Oh, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away. Oh, well, this is success music. I want it to ya. My lawyer always says these are the facts about the future. Tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away. Oh, oh, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away.